So what night am I doing mine? Tuesday. So praise God. Father, you are wonderful. You are God, you are almighty, you are Father, you are wonderful. And today we gather to grow and know, Father, so we say that we have eyes to see your greatness. We thank you for your word today, that we will rightly divide it, chew on it, and walk in it, and so we can continue to live this victorious life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So somebody told me, and I was like, what a darn tootin'. You know, Pastor D, sometimes we don't hear you. Oh, I am not Sherry. I am not Sherry. That girl's loud. Okay. So if you need to do like this, they'll crank me up. And I also, when I get serious, I finally learned this. It probably took 5 years with kids. I used to scream my head off at my kids, but I found out I had better effect on them if I would start talking soft. And I gave them that look, and I gave them that finger. Okay, so sometimes I do that. I apologize, but that's just who I am. Amen. Hey, so we've been doing, this will be week number 4 on a series on 2020 vision, having vision for 2020. How many of you have been thinking about having vision for 2020? All right, hopefully you're writing it down and you can keep adjusting it. But what we said is sight is what you see with your eyes open. Vision is what you see with your eyes closed. And if that went over your head, get week number 1 and 2, okay? I've just preached myself happy, especially week number 1. All right, so today we're going to talk about personal vision, vision for you. And actually, you will do this the rest of your life. So we got to have a better understanding of vision, personal vision. So I'm going to start by telling a story. This happened when Jack and I were first married. I had finished college. He was going to finish college, which he didn't. That's okay. He was walking out the plans for God. But don't tell your kids that. We want them to finish, okay? We were up at Penn State, and we weren't poor. We just had 2 nickels. I was like, if you don't have any money, you're poor. We always had 2 nickels to rub together. So you know what 2 nickels does for entertainment? We would just go for walks. And we were living in Pine Grove Mills. How about? I haven't thought about that in decades. And we'd walk around and stuff like that. And we'd tell stories. And now, when you're first married, this was me. Maybe you didn't do it. But Jack would say, well, one day we were walking and this dog was barking. And he said, honey, if a dog ever came after us, I'll save you. And I'm like, oh, my hero. Yeah, yeah. You know, just love. You know, you're in love. And they say all that. And he goes, I'd jump out. I put my arm here so they could bite my arm. And then I'd grab my other hand. Now, we love animals. We love animals. We love animals. But I'd let it bite my arm to save you. And I'd pick it up and I'd just slam it down. And then we'd be done with it. And I'm like, oh, my Superman. Okay. Okay. So, well, this thing sort of actually happened, but I wasn't there. So I'm hearing, I heard Jack's side of the story and then his friend's side of the story. So I'm going to kind of put them together. Here we go. So one day, he was, dropping something off at his friend's house down the road. And he had a little red Volkswagen. That was just the greatest little car. Do you know we held the cable together with a, clothespin for a long time. Not a clothespin, a safety pin. Back in the day when you're those cars, you could do things like that. So we had this little red Volkswagen. And so he's dropping off something. And he had this bad habit, but this day it was probably a good habit. So he'd pull up to somewhere and he'd just leave the car running and leave the door open. Because he was just going to run and drop this off at his friend's house. So he pulls up in his little Volkswagen, and he leaves the door open and the car running. And he runs up the front walk, and he hears, woof, woof, woof. And, the peripheral vision comes, and it's this big dog. And I don't know if it was a Doberman. And he runs into that car. Praise God, the car door was open and closes it. So he's just like, and then he sees over here, his friend is getting out of his car, the owner of the house, the friend that we was dropping that off, and he's laughing his head off. just laughing at him. And now my Jack was 6'4". He was a big guy. Back then he was thin, but he was a big guy. And here he is just shaking in this car. And his friend sees us. He's laughing his head off. And he said, comes up to him and he goes, Jack, what's the problem? And he goes, big dog. I'm a stranger. You know, they bite and they don't let go. And he says, yeah, but he's just greeting you. No, big dog. I'm a stranger. They bite you and they don't let go. Okay. So we're going to talk about that because sort of that happens a lot of times in life. We have good intentions, right? But then we don't do them. We run from the dog, right? So how many of you have had good intentions in your life and you didn't do them? Save your wife, though. Don't forget that, okay? So, you know, sometimes it's not, so, it's things that we say, and we have these good intentions, and then I was like, golly gee whiz, I didn't do them. So we're going to talk about that. My guy's in the sound booth. Is that Emily up there, or who's in there? Who's that hand? Oh, Lane. Jeez. Emily did help me. All right. We're going to look at memes. M-E-M-E-S. If you don't know what that is, how many people know what that is? My kids told me I was calling it wrong, but I know what it is. So memes are little pictures, and then they have words afterwards. And here's our first one. They're going to pop up. And the reason why they make me laugh, some of them like, oh, I'm not going to look at that, but they really make me laugh because I think they describe our human condition a lot of times, right? You're like, oh. All right, here's the first one. Me. This is me. And these are called me, actually me. You can go Google them. They're really funny. They're pretty clean. Here we go. Me, I have no feelings. You can't hurt me. Someone raises their voice at me and we're like, right? We have good intentions, but we don't. Yeah. Okay, here's my second one. Where's my second one? Me. This was me. I'm going to start eating right and working out today. Today's the day. The actual me, on the phone, ordering pizza, wings, soda, and of course, I want cinnamon bread for a dollar more, right? How many of you, like, we have those good intentions and then they just don't happen, right? Today is a free day. You can eat whatever you want. It's Super Bowl Sunday, right? Don't even try that. This is like those special things. Here's my third one. Oh my God, I'm so broke. Also me. Cha-ching, cha-ching. I have 10 sweaters, but I need that sweater. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Okay? So, okay, here's my last one. Ready? Oh, no. I'm not competitive at all. Not at all. Okay? I have not done that. But I played with a 3.5-year-old, thank you very much, who, man, we got to teach him how to be a good loser. Gee whiz, they're just so funny. All right. So a lot of times we end up doing what we don't want to do. One person, two people were honest. Okay. And really, that's kind of our human condition. We want to do this, but we don't do it. We don't want to do this, and we do it. All right, anybody have a couple of those? Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about, and this is the title of my message, Me, Actually Me. If you're taking notes, Me, Actually Me. All right, so here's the question I want to answer. Well, hopefully you'll get it. Ready? How do I get the me I want to be me? Pastor D, you need more coffee. That's all right, I'll read it again. How do I get the me I want to be me, all righty? Because, you know, there's a lot of time the me I want to be, I want to do, and I don't. The me I want to be, and I'm not. So how do I do that? So this is my main idea that you will get. It'll just stick it with you all through football tonight. You ready? This is our main idea. Ready? The inside me can override the outside me. Some of you, I don't even have to explain it, but some of you are looking at me like, she needs that coffee. All right, write it down. The inside me can override the outside me, right? So, some of you, you're like, I know where she's going with this. High five, Pastor D, that's going to be good. And other you are looking at me like, I have no clue what she's talking about. All right. So I want to give us an understanding. I'm going to build a foundation, and then we're just going to take off down the road here. Okay. First off, raise your hand if you know that God has created you in his image. You are created in his image. Whoo, man, you are awesome. You are created in his image. And God is God, but he's three persons, but he's one God, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. All right? Praise God. You know that. Write that down if you don't. Praise the Lord. And then he's made us into a three-part being, right? I am a spirit, and we'll talk more about that. I have a soul, which I like just simply to say my mind, oh yeah, my will, my emotions, and then you could tag some more, but for today I'm just going to do that. And then we have this body, all right? And that's our condition. That's who we are. We are a spirit, okay? We have this soul, mind, will, and emotions, and then we have this body. That is it. That is who we are, all right? You can't deny it. So that is why I can say the inside me can override the outside me. All righty? So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, the outside, as you read your New Testament, especially the from like Acts on, the epistles, you'll hear the talk about the body or the flesh. Anybody ever hear that when you read your Bible? Or the old man? Everybody ever hear that when you read your Bible? The scriptures. They're all scriptures that have these words. Or the sinful nature. Anybody read that? That one I don't like. But I read that. Okay? So they're all describing the outside. It's really the outside. Now, the inside me, if you've asked Jesus into your life, the inside me is perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you are perfect. Yeah. If you've asked Jesus, you are perfect. Okay. The Bible says that you are born again, a new creature, right? Anybody know those scriptures? A new creature. Amen. All right. Or a new man, new woman on the inside. And it's absolutely amazing what's on the inside. Like some days I'm just tickled. Woo! Just what's on the inside of me. Okay. So the inside me can override the outside me. And that should tickle you, all righty? Now, how do I get this inside me to override the outside? That is the dilemma. Ding, the light goes off, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. How do I get that to override it? Now, the Bible has some memes. Did you know that? They do. They're written words, but they don't have pictures. Not unless you have one of those little Bibles. But, you know, they have memes in there that are written Bible memes. And the ones we're going to look at today are written by this guy, the Apostle Paul. He wrote some memes. Yes, he did. All righty. Now, to me, he's probably the most spiritual Christian that's ever walked the earth. Well, what about Jesus? Okay, Jesus was God in the flesh on the earth. So I'm not comparing Paul to him. But really, in my opinion, and when I think about the Apostle Paul, he was like the most spiritual Christian that ever walked the earth. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I'm like, that's pretty good. I don't even write thank you notes. I'm like, go guy. Okay? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Okay. So, The really cool thing about this Apostle Paul, who's so spiritual, he had to learn what we're going to learn today. He had to learn what we are going to learn today because he actually struggled. Anybody struggle in life? Amen. You're a liar if you didn't say yes. Amen. We all have things that we struggle in, okay? But he had to learn some things about things he was struggling with, and he's going to be our example how to walk us. So I want to show you some of struggles that he had that we can learn from. So open up your Bibles to Romans. Romans is the epistles. In the epistles, it is written by the Apostle Paul. Open up to Romans. We're going to probably spend half the time in Romans, so just stay there, all right? Romans chapter 17. Romans chapter 17. Again, I'm going to say, the inside me can override this outside stuff. All righty? Romans, what? 7. What'd I say? Oh, just erase that one. 7. Thank you. So we have this funny thing around the office here. We kind of get, we're not dyslexic. I don't know. We're just on brain overload. And we have been known to print cards and we do 17 instead of 7, 2019 instead of 2020. So we run around to everybody that walks in the office when we have one of these little cards and go, proofread it, okay? Because we muff it up. So that was just one of my muff-ups. Here we go. You ready? You're all over at Romans 7:15. Here we go. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, 7:15, right? Okay, shoo, I thought I heard a rumble there. Okay, ready? 15. I do not understand what I do. Every parent says that about their kid. For I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Oh, sound like your day. 16. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Okay, this is the Apostle Paul. He's brilliant. He's spiritual. And when he says the law is the law of Moses. It's the Old Testament law of Moses. And they were over 600 commands. And a lot of them were don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do. Okay, he's talking about that, all right, there. And he's saying, by the way, how many of you are familiar with some of those Old Testament don't do's, don't do's? You probably know the 10 commandments, okay? All right, just find that answer, you know. So here's what he's saying. The way I'm living my life as a young Christian, I realize I cannot live to this standard of God. Okay, I'm just getting it really simple. That's all he's saying there, okay? So what he's really saying is, you know, I'm struggling. Raise your hand if you came in here struggling today, okay? Yesterday, okay? So he's saying, I'm struggling. Okay, next, let's do the next verse, verse 17. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. All righty. Notice where the sin is. I'll give you a hint. It's not in our spirit, man. We are made new and perfect. Remember that? So, not telling you, I'm going to read it. Okay. It is sin living in me. Verse 18. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. Okay. Here we go again. This flesh. This old, sometimes your Bible will call it the old man or the sinful nature or the body, but he's really talking the flesh. He says, this thing here, there's sin there. There's sin there. But the inside me, the real me, the one that's born again, that's a new creature in Christ Jesus, it ain't got that problem, right? But he's saying is there's a struggle with this outside me, even though this is good here. There's a struggle. So, again, the inside us, me, can override the outside. All right, but we got this struggle going. We're going to give you the answer in a second, okay? And how many of you know the real you, the real inside you, doesn't want to mess up, doesn't want to sin, doesn't want to wave fingers at that person when you're driving, right? I had someone cut me off, and I was like, okay, but the inside me doesn't want to do that, all right? But that old sinful nature, sometimes it does all the time, wants me to sin. Do mess up, if you don't like that word sin. It's really, sin is in the Bible, but we call it mess up, miss the mark, okay? Let's jump down to verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. All right, verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. I would say does it. Do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. All righty. Attention, attention, attention. This is not a license to sin. That's not what he's saying. Well, I want to do it, but I can't do it, so I'm going to do it. So I might as well. This doesn't give you a license to keep sinning, okay? It's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is he's painting a picture of this struggle that goes on. That's all he's telling you. There's this struggle going on. But the real you doesn't want to do it, right? Look at your neighbor. Say, the real me doesn't want to do it. The real me doesn't want to do it, okay? Okay? And I'll tell you why. Have you ever felt guilty after you did it? Okay? Or feel condemned? The real you doesn't want to do it. And that's why you have those feelings, okay? So, But again, if you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've asked him to come into your life, the real you, the real inside you, praise God, wants to do the right. Shoo, Pastor D, okay, all right. But a lot of times we keep yielding to this outside, all right? Not me, Pastor D, I'm just so squeaky clean. Well, no, you're not, all right. So how do we do this? This is the next question. How do we do this? How do we get the inside me to overcome the outside? How? Well, first, let me give you some homework this week. Finish reading this chapter 7 and then read chapter 8. And by the way, go read chapter 6. So read chapter 6, 7, and 8, okay? And it might take you all week, all right? All righty. Now, here's what he's saying at the end of chapter 7. This is what he goes at the very end of chapter 7. Who can deliver me from this struggle? And then he answers his own question. Jesus Christ. All right. Jesus Christ. Okay. So then chapter 8, just at the next chapter over, 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that. Man, it just set me free. Okay. Write this down. Condemnation. That means a condemning sentence on your life. A condemning sentence on your life, all right? Good news, Jesus took my sins. Woo! Okay? When we've accepted Jesus, we are no longer condemned for my sin. Okay? But I still would like to keep doing good, live right, do the right things, okay? But I don't have to be condemned. And by the way, I won't tell you how many times I messed up last week, okay? But I am not condemned because Jesus Christ took that condemnation for me, okay? And the real me, pretty good. Okay, let me see. Then jump over to finish reading chapter 8. This is what it says. He says, this is what you need to do. So this is what we need to do so we can have the inside me override the outside. Ready? I want the inside me to override the outside. And he says, this is what you need to do. You need to focus on your mind. He says you need to actually renew this. Okay? Now, when you asked Jesus Christ into your life, what became new? My spirit's new. This thing? How many of you, this thing did not become new? And he's telling us, you need to renew your mind, okay? So your mind will tell your emotions how to line up too. Alrighty, so we need to focus. Now, listen, if you are focusing on, oh my gosh, this Corolla virus, if you start focusing on that, you're like, oh my gosh, all right? And next thing you know, you're in fear. All right. If you focus on all the things that are going in the world, now use wisdom. Come on. Okay. Wash your hands. Okay. Okay. I lost my place. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. That's it. If we focus on all the things that are of what we call the world, the not God things, okay, you will do what you don't want to do. So praise God. I have another little cute thing. Write this down. Ready? All right. Get ready. But first, before I say that, now if you focus on the inside, what the Bible says, you'll be able to do the things you want to do. But write this down. Here we go. If you focus on the don'ts, you'll never do the do's. Ready? If you focus on the don'ts all the time, you'll never be able to do the do's. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Prove it. We have 10 commandments. How many of you know of them? You shall not steal. That's a good one. You shall not kill. That's a really good one. You shall not lie. Okay, I get it, okay? And the commandments are holy. They're righteous. They're good. But listen, if you focus on the don't do this, you'll not be able to do the do's. And the Bible even says that the law could not set you free. Those commandments could not set you free, but thank God Jesus Christ has set me free. So what we need to know is what Jesus did for us. Okay, now the commandments are good. And let me tell you, I told my kids, no stealing, no lying. Okay? Tell myself that too. No, I don't steal. Okay. I don't. Really? Praise God. Okay. Where am I, Pastor D? Stay focused. Stay focused. Okay. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Okay. So I just said before I said that the law couldn't set us free. And that is why Jesus came to set me free. And it's only Jesus and not the law that will set you free. So what I need to do is focus on what he did for me. Focus on what he did for me. All right. Romans, turn your page here. Romans 12, 1. Ready? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that's a believer. If you're asked Jesus into your life, he's talking to you. That's who he's talking to them, and that's who he's talking to now. So therefore, I urge you, you notice the mother voice. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. All righty. So what is that God's mercy? Well, it's actually, he explained all of that in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He goes through the mercy of God. The mercy of God starts with the condition that I was in, that you were in, and then Jesus came and died for me and set me free, and that Jesus, now I have no condemnation, and this is the wonderful life, okay? So that's what he's saying. The mercies is everything that happened in chapters 1 through 11, all right? So here we go. So he's saying, in light of God's mercy, ready? I want to give you one step. That's what he's saying. In light of all that God has done for you, I just want to give you one step to do. All righty, here we go. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So that is the step. In light of all that God has done for me, I just want you to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Everybody say, offer my body as a living sacrifice. Okay. Now, what's in this body or the flesh or that old sinful, hint, hint, sinful nature? Okay. That's what's kind of just pushing on you. The inside me is good. The outside me sort of struggles. Okay. So let's finish reading. Okay. Before I get lost all over the place. Here we go. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. Okay. One Greek scholar said this. This is the foundation for all worship. This is the foundation for all worship. So we just sang some songs, some worship songs. That's a type of worship to God. All right? That's the type of worship to God. And there's more. But he's saying this. Listen to this. The foundation for all worship is that first step. I surrender. God, I give you all of me and I surrender. That is your first step. And that is really where worship begins. Okay? God, I just surrender my life to you. God, I just surrender this situation to you. God, I surrender my mouth to you. God, I surrender. Okay, I have a whole list of things I surrender, alrighty? So, praise God. Now, I've known the Lord Jesus for 40 plus years, okay? And do you know what? I, after 40 years, keep crawling off that altar. I don't know about you guys. Like, I get up and I go, God, in the morning, God, I am yours. I surrender my life today and this situation today. And I get up and I just surrender my life, a life of worship to the Lord. And then, like, sometimes by the afternoon, I'm start crawling off that altar. You all look at like, what are you talking about? Okay. Well, let me tell you, okay? I'll start doing it. I'm doing it my way. Okay, that is sneaking off the altar. All right? Or a that's coming off the altar. And then I go, oh, no. Okay? And then I go, because, you know, I'm like, God, I'm going to get back on the altar. And Lord, I just surrender this situation to you, Lord. Okay. So, How many of you have areas in your life that you struggle in? Yeah, like you keep getting off the altar. You get it? You keep getting off it. But you know, I just simply, no condemnation. All right? This is perfect on the inside, but this thing is not. And this is not, all right? So when I do what I don't want to do and do what I do, okay, then I just go, God, I'm sorry. No condemnation. I surrender, and I just surrender my life to you, this situation to you, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So what's your first step? I surrender. That's the first step, all right? Second step, here we go. Next verse, Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. The world is crazy. It is crazy. It says and does and says this is what you should do. It's just bananas out there, okay? So it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, that's the second part of us. The first part of us is our spirit. It's made perfect. It's new. But the second part is this, okay? This is my mind. So he's saying, you have to renew this. Otherwise, the inside us will not be able to override the outside. Okay. And you're going to look like the world. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Okay. So the key is I have to renew my mind. All right. So this is what you should ask yourself. Okay. How do I renew my mind? Duh, Pastor D, the Bible. Okay. I got you there. But what part of the Bible should you renew your mind to? All right. Glad you're looking at me like that. Ready? You renew your mind to what happened after you accepted Jesus. And that is called who you really are. So you get in your Bible, and that will be from the Acts to Revelations. It's the epistles written by Paul, and a lot of times we'll call it new creation realities, because there is a new creation in here that's supposed to be a reality out here. So I need to stick on that side. Doesn't mean I don't read my Old Testament or the Gospels. I love reading Gospels. I love reading about my Jesus, okay? But if you want to renew this, you need to renew on what happened after you met Jesus. Because it's good. It's good. All right. Now, how many of you know Google? Friend of mine. Got him upstairs and downstairs. We even have him in the youth room now. This is what you do. Google, give me a list of new creation realities. All right. Google, give me a list of who I am in Christ. And these wonderful people that spit out these lists, and you click them and print them off, okay? Now, back in the day, this was my list. This and this. I have a folder, okay? So I didn't have Google, but I knew people that wrote these lists, and I would get their lists. And these are ones I just ran off, but you should see mine. They are yellowed and torn and underlined and stuff like that. Like, here's a new creation reality. I'm a new creation. And they even tell you where it is. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a member of the body of Christ. It's Ephesians 5:30. I'm redeemed, forgiven, set free. Ephesians 1. Okay, so listen. So if you want to renew your mind, because he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what you renew your mind with. Otherwise, the inside man is not going to be able to override. Okay, so here's a good one. If any man be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Oh, I'm in Christ. That's right. I asked Jesus in my life. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things passed away. Old things have become new. Here's another one. I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That means, oh, Jesus, I just beg it. No, shoot, baby, I'm up here. That's a new creation reality. I am seated with Christ. And I can tell when you pray where you're seated, okay? I am seated, all right, with him. All right, here's another one. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You is righteous because you're in Christ Jesus. That's what happened after you ask Jesus into your life, alrighty? So that's the part of the word that we need to renew our mind to, okay? And I'm telling you, it'll change your life. And you'll make my life easier. Okay? It will. You get into this. And I tell this story all the time. There's this one particular minister, Bob Daniels. We go to his meetings. And the first 6 months, that's all he talked about. And it was like, fing, fing, fing. And everybody's walking around, yay! I didn't get it. Okay? And then one day, I'm a new creature in Christ. One light bulb went off, okay? So I've been doing this for a long time. I'm still having light bulbs go off, all right? Okay? So what's really happening when you renew your mind to who you are in Christ, the in Christ realities, this is already in you. Okay? And I'm going to read this and say this, and then it's going to hit here and it'll start becoming the inside man is overriding the outside. Praise God. All righty. So, let's see. If two or more are gathered together as touching anything, it shall be. That's the scripture. So you get your scripture on who you are and you agree with what God says, it's going to happen. Doesn't always happen overnight. Okay. Especially if you're struggling and been struggling and struggling in this area, and you will do it. I'm still doing it 40 years later. Okay. So Pastor D, how do I renew my mind? I love people. People, Pastor D, how do you renew your mind? Well, first off, we have a ton of mini books back there. But how do I renew my mind? Okay. I go find these scriptures and I have burnt through this. This is before Google. This is a little mini book. I don't even know how much they cost now. They used to be 50 cents. They're probably like $1 or $2 now. Yeah. And it goes through these scriptures of who I am now that Jesus came to live inside of me. And I just go find one of these. Okay. And I have them all over my house. They usually have worn off the cover, and I'll find one and I'll just, you know, I have spent time with the Lord in the morning. Okay. Cause I'm not nice by the afternoon unless I spend time with the Lord in the morning. Okay. So I spend time with the Lord in the morning, and then I'll just pull one of these out and I'll just read it. And then when I go to bed, I'll just read it again a couple of times, okay? And what am I doing? I'm renewing my mind to what's already in the inside so I can walk it on the outside. Really simple, okay? By the way, in our bookstore, where's Kathy? Oh, right, my bookstore. Very good. Right and Wrong Thinking. Very good, okay? This is my all-time favorite. His guy, he's gone home to be with Jesus. His name is E.W. Kenyon. Anybody ever hear of him? Amen. Right. New creation realities. Duh! You know what I like about this guy? One chapter is less than 3 pages. I can do that. Okay. And he goes through all these things on who you really are. All right. Then he's got another one. Two Kinds of Life. Well, that's another good one. Okay. So praise God. How many of you have memorized some of those scriptures? You already know them. Yeah, okay. They're good, right? All right. So as you go through your day, what do? You just kind of think about it. You know, I'm in the shower and I'll think about that. I'm driving and I'll think about that. I don't do it all the time, all throughout my day. I got other things I got to think about. But let me tell you, it starts something on the inside now can override something on the outside. Isn't that good? Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get it. Okay. Okay. All right. Again, if you have an area that you keep struggling in, you might have to do this for a while. I hate to say work at it, but yeah, you might have to find those scriptures and just do it and do it and do it and do it. And one day someone's going to say to you, "Whoa, something different about you." And I'm going, "Something on the inside, Betty, working on the outside. Oh, what a joy it is." Okay. Good old song. Praise the Lord. All right. I love the scripture. Open up to 1 Peter 2, 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. Okay. This is like a principle. Okay. 1 Peter 2, 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. Okay. Like newborn babies crave spiritual, not dark chocolate, spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, it's not talking about getting born again. It's talking about walking this salvation life out. So guess what? It's talking about growing up. Grow up. All right. Now, when you read that, like newborn babes, you can think, well, that's just somebody who just met Jesus. They're called babes in Christ. Well, yes, it is. But it's also talking to all y'all, all of us. It's talking to all Christians, like newborn babes, desire, crave the spiritual milk. Okay. Okay. So I am the proud owner of 2 grandchildren. They are just adorable. The only problem is they live in Kansas City. Big day out there today, man. Shoo, Kansas City. Anyway, so I have 2 grandchildren. It's Cashman Joseph Klein. He's 3 and a half. Baby Cash. He's not a baby. We call him Cash. Cash is 3 and a half. And Evie is about 8 months old. Evelyn Joy Klein. Yeah. And they call her Evie for short. But this past summer, we went on vacation together. And Evie was 5 months old. Okay. And she's the best tempered baby. Especially compared to Cash. Evie is like a piece of cake. She just is just this great temperament kid. And you just sit her down and she googles and goggles, okay? And you hold her and she just, I hold her and she's spitting up on me. And then she does these mouth kisses, sucks them. She just slobbers all over you, right? And then she's pulling my hair, pulling my eyes. She's just, but really, she's just this great temperament baby. Did anybody have one of those? Should all have at least one, gosh. But the thing is, when she gets hungry, she gives you like one warning. Just like one warning. She gets a little cranky. Just a little cranky. And if you miss that first sign, man, she gets, okay? And now her mom nurses her, or else if I'm the babysitter, I get a bottle. But if mom's around, I pick that baby up and I'm running. Here's your baby. Nurse that baby, okay? But if I'm the babysitter, I am running to the kitchen to get that bottle, thank you. And you shove it in her mouth and they grip hold of that. And they're just, and you can't even get it out of their hands. They think you're going to steal this stuff, all right? And they are guzzling it. And I'm like, whoa. Okay. That is an example of a baby that craves milk. And that scripture says that we are to crave spiritual milk. Okay. So what's our spiritual milk? Who you are in Christ. Those new creation realities. I'm one with the one who rose from the dead. I'm seated in the heavenlies with him. Okay? You need to crave that. And I don't care if you've walked with Jesus 40 years. Okay? That baby gets cranky if I don't give it milk. Right? And I tell you what, I see a lot of Christians in the body of Christ. And they're just not nice to one another. And meh, meh, meh. And upset about this. And I'm thinking, give them a bottle. Right? But what's in that bottle, baby, is the milk, the who you are. And they don't know. They've forgotten who they are. And that's what my feelings. Okay. Like bottle time, baby. Okay. Too bad. We have to find a nice way of saying that to somebody. Like, you know, you don't want to call them a baby, but you know. You need a feeding, okay? Because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you taste how good God is through his word, you'll guzzle more. So, protect your toes. If you tell me you don't like reading, if you tell me I don't get anything out of it, I think you need a bottle. Like a bunch of them. Like, well, how many, they eat every 2 hours or 3 hours? Maybe we need to just do that, okay? But I'm telling you what, it will change your life. It'll change how you live life. Whoo, it'll change you, okay? And let me tell you, there's nothing else that'll satisfy you. Okay, don't say that, Pastor D. Be nice, okay? I don't know, say that. We try to stuff a lot of things in our life. And they're good for a little bit. And I call them plan Bs. Listen, I'm alive today because of some plan Bs, and so are you. But listen, you get craving this, and you keep this before you daily throughout your day. It will change your life, and it won't cost you no money. Amen? Praise God, Pastor D. You're making me happy. Okay. So what's the milk of the word? Who you are in Christ. What happened after Jesus came into your life? Read from there on. So what's the meat of the word? Someone just had to say, what's the meat then, Pastor D? It's everything God says for you to do. A new commandment I give unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's the meat. When you start doing that stuff, forgive one another. Okay, those are the meats. But listen, I don't care how, I don't give Evie little Evie, well, she's 8 months old. I don't know what she's eating right now. But I don't give her steak, okay? You still give her meat. She's milk. Even though she's on some table food, you still give her milk. Okay, so I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. You still need this milk. Okay? Well, don't tell me you're allergic. I'm just going to smack you. Jeez, I'm not allergic to milk. Come on, you know what I'm doing, right? You still need this daily in your life, the milk of who you are, so you can take what's on the inside and override what's on the outside. Amen? Praise God. Okay, one more thing. Right? Okay, praise the Lord. Don't look at that clock. Okay. Write this down. The me I see is the me I'll be. So when you start feeding on that milk, then the me I see is the me I'll be. All right? Okay? If you can see it in your mind, it's been renewed, transformed. If you can see it, that's who you'll be. And that's when the inside overrides the outside. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story. Long, long time ago. Gosh. I think we were up in Potter County. Yeah. And we went to a church meeting. Okay. Now I can't tell you the rest of it. Okay. Cause it's really kind of bad. So we went to a church meeting and then the pastor invited us out to eat afterwards. And there was a bunch of ministers and I'm pretty sure my kids were at another table and it's these adult ministers, people that know Jesus. And, the minister took us up there to this restaurant. Oh my gosh. And he says, hey, we're a bunch of ministers. We just got out of church and we're starved. I said, okay, maybe that's what they say up there. Okay. And he said, and then he started to be demanding and commanding to this waitress. Okay. And I'm like, wow. And then, you know, she didn't like it because she starts banging down plates and did not refill our basket of bread, right? You asked her for things and she just whipped by. And I had this fleeting thought, I'm from Jersey. And you know, I used to waitress. I could tell you a few things. It was only a fleeting thought. I didn't, okay? But you know what? I've been feeding. I'd probably do better. I wouldn't even have a fleeting thought. But listen, I've been feeding on who I am. And I thought, man, something's going on in her life. It was those ministers. Okay. And she's thinking she's going to get stiffed for a tip with this bunch. So I started praying for her. Just really felt bad for her. And this guy was like, shut up. You are, gosh, turkey. Okay. I know. Okay. So then the guy that invited us out paid the bill and they're all sitting around at the table and I thought, I'm just going to pick my purse up and I have to go to the bathroom. And what I did is I reached in my wallet and took every piece of cash that I had and I walked up to that server and I said, thank you very much for serving us. Then I came back because I didn't really go to the bathroom, sat down and she came over and we're leaving. Hey, everybody, have a wonderful day. She's all smiling. Okay. Now listen, the D on the inside had to make a choice, but I knew who I was by then on the inside. And I really was concerned and praying for this lady and what's going on in her life. So listen, all that is just God growing us up. Now, I'd like to tell you that Jersey doesn't come out anymore since then, and I'm working on areas in my life. Praise the Lord. So let me give you one more thing, and then we're going to scoot out of here. Ready? The God I release empowers me to be me. The God that I release, key thing, I get to release him, empowers me to be the me I see. Okay, just jot this down. Galatians 5:16. And later on, read verse 19. Galatians 5:16. Ready? Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In case you don't know what that looks like, he gives a list. And that's not even a comprehensive list on verse 19 of all the what the flesh looks like. What the flesh looks like. Oh my gosh. Okay. But he says, listen to this. I say, walk in the Spirit and you'll not gratify the flesh, the sin nature. So how do I walk in the Spirit? Okay. How many of you came into worship and, and then by the time we finished, man, it was fun. Whew, I feel good. All right. So worship will help you walk in the Spirit. Okay, because y'all felt better afterwards, right? Y'all felt great. I was like, let's go home. This is awesome. Okay, get ready for your Super Bowl. So worship will help you walk in the Spirit. So how about you create an atmosphere of worship in your house? All right? Okay? I still do CDs. I'm going to learn all this newfangled stuff. I'll throw a CD on, all right? Back in the day, we put tapes on, okay? So create an atmosphere of worship. And besides renewing your mind, this will help you walk. What's in the inside overrides the outside. Amen? Good. Here's another one. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues. It will, I read my Bible, but I do this. This will help empower and release the God on the inside. All right? This is another one. How about you just grateful? Right? An attitude, just a grateful, like, God, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for how you just got this extra money so we could pay this off. God, you've just been so good. God, thank you. Just a grateful heart. That'll keep you walking in the Spirit instead of, man. Okay. So how many of you are excited that the inside me can override the outside you? Amen. Us, right? Okay. And God loves us so much that he gave us his word that will help you walk this out, all right? The bad news is you're going to do it till the day Jesus calls you home, okay? Don't you go slacking on me, because we're going to shove bottles in your mouth. Get a bottle, baby, okay? But the great news is this will change your life. It's changed my life. I've watched it change a whole bunch of your lives, but keep doing it, okay? So let's stand up and pray, and then I'll let you out of here. Father God, you are so good. You're so good. Thank you for this personal vision. Thank you that we can literally feed on milk, and it will change the way the outside goes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And for some of you, you've known this, but today I just say we just make a decision to crave more of the milk of who we really are. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you that we can override and just shine and be victorious. Amen. Amen. I have one more thing. If you're here today and you have never had a change on the inside, that means you've never called on the name of Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. This on the inside has not gotten good. So if you're here the sad part is you don't have to wait till your life's a mess to say, Jesus, I need you. Okay. But if you are in a mess, it's a good day to do that. If you're not, but on the inside, I don't have this, Jesus. If that's you, I'd like to pray with you. The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, he will save you. He will change you on the inside, put eternal life on you, just make you new on the inside. And it's simply saying, calling on his name. And there's no other name, the Bible says, to be saved by. Okay, you can be good, 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 and try to be good, good, good. But yet, the only way that you can be saved is to say, Jesus. Really, to say, God, I'm far from you. I'm actually a sinner. But God, you sent your son Jesus. And Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Make me new. So if you're here today, and then it's just pounding on your heart. That's me. I want Jesus in your life. We're going to all pray with you, okay? I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. But this will be the craziest thing you ever do. The beautiful thing you'll ever do. So how about we all say this together? And if this is you, you're praying this for the first time, you all pray that loud enough to hear yourself, and you pray it from your heart, okay? Pray it from your heart. And God answers the heartfelt prayers. Say, Father God, I'm sin stained. I am in sin and my trespasses. But you sent Jesus to die for my sin. So Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And I ask you to come into my life. Make me new. And this day, I will walk with you. I thank you that I'm now a child of God. Heaven's my destination, but I am new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if anybody prayed that for the first time, I would love to just put some material into your hands, give you a high five or a hug, whatever you like here. But listen, the Bible says that heaven goes berserk when one person receives Jesus. That's how amazing, important, and valuable and special you are. Heaven is just celebrating. You've come home. You're new. So I want to celebrate with you. The rest of y'all, have a super wonderful day. Shoo. You're blessed. Amen.